God for my salvation, where 21 years ago he brought me into the men's home. Hallelujah, men's home. And God begun to do a work in my life, and that work still continues. So I'm still a man under construction. Amen. Hallelujah. But I just thank God for my salvation. And, you know, I came from a place of crack addiction and violence and prisons, in and out of jails. And God delivered me from all of that. And I'm just a grateful man standing here before you tonight. I give thanks to my pastor, my mentor, Pastor Danny, Sister Barbara, for this privilege, the pastoral staff here for this privilege. It is truly a privilege, and I don't take it lightly. Amen. And I thank God for my beautiful wife, my back-to-back partner. She's my friend, my lover, my mistress. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. But I love her dearly. What was that? Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I want you all to take your Bibles at this time and turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua 3. Third chapter. And tonight I want to talk to you about trusting God for his promises and stepping out in obedience. Trusting God and his promises and stepping out in obedience. And before we begin to read this passage here in chapter 3, I just want to reiterate what's happening here is that the children of Israel are finally coming to the place of the Jordan where they're to cross over and receive the promises of God that were promised to their forefathers to enter into the land of promise, the promised land, if you will. Prior to this particular time here, 40 years prior to this, they were supposed to enter into the land. And at that time, Moses had sent 12 spies into the land to spy on the land for 40 days. And of course, the 12 came back, and only two had a good report, and that was Caleb and Joshua. And the others had a bad report. They said that in the land, of course, they ran into giants, the sons of Anak. And so they said in their own eyes that they seemed to be like grasshoppers before these giants. And so anyway, this angered God, and guess what? God had them to walk another 40 years into the wilderness until that generation died off. And this is the new gen. This is the new generation that is ready to go and receive the promise that God has given them. And so that's where this picks up at. I want to begin to read in verse 1 of chapter 3 of Joshua. Amen. And the word of God reads, "Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and they set out from Acacia Grove and came to the Jordan. He and all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they crossed over. So it was after 3 days that the officers went through the camp, and they commanded the people, saying, 'When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord, your God, and the priest, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before.'" And in verse 5, "And Joshua said to the people, 'Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you.'" Now here we see that they come to the Jordan, and they're preparing to cross the Jordan into the land that was promised them by God. But we see that in verse 1 that they lodged there. There are many times, you understand, in this journey that we have to pause. We have to wait for detailed instructions. We have to get equipped, if you will, to get ready to continue the journey. And this is what's taking place here. Just like us right now, you know, we have the life flow. It is something set in motion by God, a vision that was given us by God in the life flow, that this congregation that has been called to reach the hurting people of our city, in the state and of the world, you understand, God is equipping us through this life flow. God is equipping us through these various vetti and different trainings that we have. God wants us to be equipped. The Lord is the giver of the finest of details. The Lord gave Moses details. The Lord's very intricate in his works. He gave Noah details on how to build the ark, what materials to use, the measurements. Of course, it was crazy to most people around Noah at the time, because here's a man and his family, and they're building an ark in the middle of the desert, a big gigantic ship in the middle of the desert. It don't always make sense when God tells us to do something, but nevertheless, we have to do it in obedience. And God has given us, our congregation here, a mandate as well, and that we might grow and that we might be partakers of what he has for us so that we may be equipped. How much of us know that there is a need in our city? Oh, yes, there's a need. Per capita, we're one of the most violent cities in the nation. Per capita. If we were the size of L.A. or New York or Chicago, I believe we'd be worse. But per capita, just like up in Española, the heroin addiction and the overdoses, it's been number one on several occasions. Number one, number two in several occasions for drug overdoses, heroin overdoses. God is a giver of instructions, intricate instructions, if you will. In verse 3, we see that the people here are instructed that when they see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, their God, they're to set out. Set out means move. Hello, somebody say move tonight. Because sometimes we don't know how to do this thing. You know what I'm saying? God say move, and we just standing there in our own place, leaning to our own understanding. I think you just quoted a while ago. You know, instead of trusting in him. When he say move, that mean move. You know, when I was in the men's home, brother, get in the van. Well, where are we going, brother? Get in the van. Well, how long are we going to be there? Like if I had somewhere else to be besides the state penitentiary. Hello, somebody. I was blessed to be able to get in the van because the only other van that I could get in, you understand, is when the guards had me shackled up. You understand? And I was on my way to another a court, another trial or something, or they transferred me from penitentiary to penitentiary. Hello, somebody. So I should have been happy. I should have been glad to get in the van. Get in the van. Y'all still go through that? Got to get in the van, brother. We on our way to the car wash, but that ain't none of your business. Just get in the van. Be obedient. Amen. Just be obedient. So anyway, they told them that the instruction was to follow the Ark of the Covenant of God. Set out, move, go after it. The Ark of the Covenant, of course, represented the presence and the promises of God. This is God's will for us to follow him, not to try to get ahead of him. Hello, somebody. We have to follow the Lord. Amen. We have to trust in his instructions. We have to trust in his direction for our lives. Amen? So until now, the children of Israel had wandered out in the desert for 40 years. And while they were wandering out in the desert for 40 years, there was a cloud that during the day and a pillar of fire that led them at night. You understand? But now the ark would show them the way. But there had to be a space between them and the ark, a space about 2,000 cubits, which is about 1,000 yards. There had to be that space. And this was to impress upon the children of Israel, you understand, how sacred the ark was and how important it was for them to follow the presence of God. Now, in verse 4, we also see that they were told, otherwise, let the presence of God show you the way for what? You have not passed this way before. I came into home. I was trying to give directions for a while. I didn't know nothing. Nothing. All I knew how to do was get in trouble, smoke crack, raise hell. Can I say that in church? I was a hell raiser. Yeah, that's all I knew how to do. Sometimes, and I used to be this way, so don't get me wrong. You're talking to somebody, you're giving instructions. I know. I didn't even say anything, but you already know. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes that's how we get. It's a pride issue. It's a pride issue. It's like, hey, you know what? I really don't want to be told nothing. So I know before you get anything out of your mouth, because I really don't want to hear no instructions. Hello, somebody. It's a pride issue. But unless you pass this way before, you need to pay attention to the one who has, or the one, you understand, who knows what's out there in front of you. The one who is able to get us there. We have to pay attention. We have to be obedient. And we have to be those who walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? Otherwise, in the new challenges that they were in, you know, they were in a new place and they were asked to do things and go places that they hadn't gone before. But nevertheless, they were serving the same God. They were serving the same God. He's the same God who cared for them in the wilderness. He's the same God who brought many of us out of the murk and the mire, the trials, the tribulation, the jails, the prisons, the failed relationships. Can you relate to that? Sickness, disease. Thank God. I thank God that the fact that I had hepatitis C and my liver was beginning to be in very, very bad shape, where the count had jumped from 2 million to 10 million in 2 years, and it got real, real progressive. Real, real progressive. And then what had happened at that time, I said, well, you know what, I'm just going to pray and I'm going to drink herbs, not them kind of herbs, but I'm going to drink herbs and spices and things, you know, and I'm believing for a healing, and that's all good and fine. But Pastor Jerry told me before he passed away, Brother Charles, whoever thought God might want you to take a treatment. I tried everything else. God works through treatments. God works through various things. And guess what? I'm healed. And there's many of us here today that are healed of hepatitis C, of cancer. See? And we're believing and we're standing in the gap for others who have hepatitis C, hepatitis B, have cancer, all types of neurological things going on with their backs and migraine headaches. And we're standing in the gap because there's many of us here tonight that have been healed. So we know that God is a healing God. Amen? The God of healing. In verse 5, they're instructed to sanctify themselves, to purify themselves. The people were told to separate themselves from anything that was unclean and to devote themselves wholly to the Lord. So sin and self-indulgence keeps us from doing the will of God. Self-centered, and you got your own agenda, okay? We know that sin will keep us from the promises of God like it was with the forefathers of Israel. The sin and the doubt. It's a sin to doubt. Oh, somebody. Sin to doubt. To doubt God. Amen? And so sin and self-indulgence will keep us from the promises of God, from the will of God, and from being in tune with God and being used by God. How many of us want to be used by God? Do you realize that you're sitting here tonight because God drew you here? Okay. See, there's a lot of us, we wouldn't be caught up in here some years ago. Oh, somebody. Unless I was on my way to glory in some kind of way, you know, I wouldn't be in no church. Hello. Wouldn't be in no church. But I love to come to church. I love to see my brothers and sisters. I love to look around the church and see all the miracles and the treasures out of darkness. Hello, somebody. I know I'm not standing alone. God is still on the throne. Brothers and sisters in the home. I saw some of you when you came in, man. I thought I was tore up from the floor up. All right? Some of us was jacked, man. You know what I'm saying? Maniacs, man. Pastor Ed used to say maniacs. We're maniacs. Tore up. God was getting ready once again to demonstrate his power and didn't need them being afraid, freaking out, because he needed them to take the steps in fulfilling the promise. God has to prepare us because there's things he's going to do that will freak out. See, we're getting ready to read about some things. And we freak out, trip out, run off, spooked. Oh, somebody, take off. Ain't gonna lie, I was a little boy when they told me about the call and God spoke to me. I took off. I ran for 30-something years. Right? Hello, somebody. Children of Israel, they were 18 miles from the promised land. You understand it? And it took them 40-some years. Hello, somebody. But it took me 40-some years and I was 18 inches from the promised land. Hello, somebody. I just needed to make an intelligent decision. Okay, God didn't create me to be in no prison. I didn't come out of my mother's womb with a crack pipe in my mouth, toting a pistol, acting crazy. I might have been a crazy little baby, but anyway. We were born into sin, right? Amen. Let's continue to read. Oh, yep, stone gone. Ain't no doubt about it. Stone gone. Hello, somebody. Let's begin to read again in verse 6. Then Joshua spoke to the priest, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over before the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. Then the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all of Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You shall command the priests who bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you have come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you shall stand in the Jordan. Somebody say, I need to stand in the Jordan. Oh, yes, yes. What is happening here in verse 7? He said, this day I will exalt you in the sight of all of Israel. The people here came to trust. They got to a place where they trusted in Moses, and now God, you understand, was directing them toward their new leader. Just like we, God has wants us to understand that Pastor Danny and Sister Barbara, they didn't choose to do this. They didn't find God, like Pastor Danny said the other day. They didn't find Jesus. Jesus found them. And in their obedience, they said, hey, we will do it. In their obedience, they said, we'll do it. You understand? Too many times, we don't want to listen to our leaders. But we have to come to a place to understand that this is God's choice for our congregation. And so far, I've been here 21 years, and so far, you know, and I just believe from now on until Jesus comes back, take me home, you understand, that ain't nothing changing as far as their heart for God. And so you have to begin to hear the voice behind the voice. The only way to do this is to get close to God, to realize from the Word of God the will of God. And the discernment that God gives will let you know that the man and woman of God, you understand, who and the pastoral staff that they that God has mandated and given unto this congregation and the leadership here in this congregation, this is God's choice. This is God's choice. We continue to go forward because our officers at arm, you understand, are people of God. Have to begin to realize that, hey, God is making his appeal through people that happens to be our pastors. Amen? Hallelujah. We have to come to that place that we understand and begin to listen for the voice of God coming from behind the voices that are speaking, from behind this podium. Man, we've got some powerful preachers here. Okay, not that they're powerful on their own. Got men and women of God who stand behind the podium who are broken before the Lord, allowing God to use them, allowing God to give them gifts and for those gifts to come forth in the Holy Spirit. Men and women that are prayer warriors who press in to the Word, those who reach out and those who are dedicated in reaching souls, those who love people. Love comes from you are who you hang out with, right? Amen. We get closer to God through what? Prayer, fasting, Bible studies, training, discipleship, fellowship, so that we're all on the same page. Oh, God's giving our pastors this. be on the same page. Amen? Let's continue to read. Try not to labor too long tonight. Amen? I know some of y'all done got nervous. Pastor Charles is long-winded, man. Just prepare yourself. Might just fool you. Might just fool you tonight. It's time for altar call right now. Verse 9. So Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites, the Hivites, and the Perizzites and the Girgashites, hello, and the Amorites and the Jebusites, all of the ites he's going to drive out. Amen? Amen. Let's continue to read. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now, therefore, take for yourself 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for every tribe. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off. Somebody say cut off. The waters that come down from upstream, and they shall stand in a heap. Joshua calls them. He says, like, come here. Come here. I want you to come here and what? Here. I want you to come here and hear. Just like when we're encouraged, come to church. Come here and hear. Hello, somebody. Come to Life Float, come here, hello somebody, and here. All right? Come to Vethi. I'm going to go on. Come here and here. Come to Women's Discipleship. Come here and here. Come to Men's Discipleship. Come here and here. So we can go on and on, can't we? But there's not enough of us coming here to hear. And unless we come here to hear, then we won't know. And if we don't know God's will, and if we don't come here and hear, then we won't be equipped, right? So then it's kind of senseless to be in a war. Hello, somebody. All right, soldiers on the battlefield. They got guns, but no bullets. Well, let's go back a ways then. You got a sword, but it ain't sharp. It don't have no edge. That's what coming here and hearing and receiving. See, you got to do it here, and it's got to come here. Well, somebody, that's what it's all about. It's all about equipping. Well, come here and hear. By this you shall what? He said, you shall know. Hello, somebody. Week after week, God gives us the ingredients for personal spiritual growth and church growth so that we don't have room for what? Excuses. Excuses like belly buttons. Everybody got one. Excuses will lead us straight to hell. Excuses will keep us, you understand, from reaching a soul that's prepared for us to minister to. The Holy Spirit's moving. Okay? I know at the time somebody spoke to me, and I believe the Holy Spirit, you understand, had gave me a revelation. And I said, I'll go. Take me to the men's home. I'll do it. Hello, somebody. That was God. You don't come to God unless he draws you. Amen? Faith is of God. We weren't born with no faith. It's a gift from God. When we believed and we accepted Jesus Christ into our hearts as our personal Lord and Savior, that's a move of God. Right? Can't nobody conjure that up. Hello, somebody. So we must take to heart all that is being given us Some of us not only some of us are not only coming, but then we're not even invested in anything. Invested. And it takes coming to be one. Sometimes we don't give. Give, give. It doesn't always mean about finances. But when it involves finances, look out. Look out. Oh, they're going to talk about money again. I guess I'm getting ready to go on out the door. The people sneak out. They go. They leave. Somebody. Well, it's time for me to go to the restroom and take the offering. No, I'm serious. I'm serious. When I was a kid, I knew a little bit about that. Okay? I got some change. I'm going over here. Y'all don't know nothing about duck walls. 5 and 10 cent store. Hello. Oh, the basket come around, I'm gone. Give me a lollipop or something. Some people leave. How about your talent, your gift, your time? Those are God's gifts. Guess what? In there to glorify God, to be used for God's purpose. Amen? Hallelujah. In verse 13, he says, "And it shall come to pass that as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off." Now, this is what the preparation was all about here. You understand? First of all, God is letting them know, look, I'm not going to hold back the waters until you take the steps. I'm not going to give you the promise until you take the steps. And it's going to take sometimes getting your feet wet. Hello, somebody. See, we stand on the bank and wait on God to start. How to put in work. How much work did we put in for the devil? Oh, come on, y'all. Put in work for Satan. Well, I was out there 24/7 for the devil. That's why I know how to stay up. I know how to stay up, man. I burn a lot of midnight oil. Y'all laughing. Y'all burn oil. Y'all, the ministers burn a whole bunch of midnight oil. But praise God, we're not being up because we're high. We're high on Jesus. That's why we're up. Amen? Hallelujah. But if God, we'd be spoiled brats otherwise. All right? And going, which is what God has called us to do, that would be out of question. Oh, no, if I'm just going to sit here and get blessed, shoot, I ain't going nowhere. Hello, somebody. That don't work. The Great Commission, that don't work. Where Jesus said, "Go ye into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And lo, I am with you even until the end of the age." Amen? So, you got to get your feet wet. Hello, somebody. In 1 Peter 2:9, 2:9 and 10, it says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Somebody need to praise God up in here. This is who we are in Jesus. We're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Guess what the priests were doing with the Ark of the Covenant? Carrying the presence of God. I tell this worship team, look, this thing about coming out here, ushering in the presence of God because I'm beating my guitar, that's just not happening. It's not happening. The relationship with God, getting into the presence, sanctifying, just like they did here, sanctifying yourself, getting into God's presence. When we come out of the back, God's presence is supposed to be with us. We're supposed to be carrying God's presence. Amen? But unless you get your feet wet, others won't be able to cross over into the promises of God for their own life. They won't be able to overcome their drug addictions. They won't be able to overcome violence and rage and desperation and depression and stress and loneliness and strife and resentment and hate and dysfunction. We must rise up and get in the flow so we can fulfill our God-given vision for our city and for the world. People are seeking a Savior. There's a lot of people roaming around. They're looking for a Savior. But unless we present, you understand, Him to them in the way we walk and the way we love, you understand, then they may not ever meet Him. God makes His appeal through us. Getting your feet wet by stepping out into the places you've never gone before and among people that you've never known before. It takes faith in having trust in God to protect and direct us. Amen. Psalm 91, if I can get the keyboard, it's up here. Psalms 91 and 2. See, I told y'all, you got hope. Didn't I tell you that? Keyboard, it's better come quick, though, because your hope might... Y'all going to give me 5 more minutes? Don't try it. At somebody else's thing. How many of y'all going to give me 5 minutes? Hallelujah. Psalms 91:2. It says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Refuge, a fortress, is a shelter, protection, and hope. Amen. Think about it, though. Think about it. Many of us, it's hard to trust God. It's hard to trust God, but we'll trust mere men and women. Think about it. You're going down the freeway, 65, 75 miles an hour, all right? Me, I find myself in front of trucks all the time, big semis, man. Gotta say to yourself, if these two dudes just go whack right quick, booyah! I'm a person. I'm gone. It's a done deal. You know somebody? But I trust going down the freeway, 75 miles an hour, ride between trucks. I look out for the other drivers, but I must trust that they're gonna be doing the right thing, right? How about the engineer that made the put together the formula to make that bridge that I'm going to ride across? Huh? Do you ever worry about the bridge falling down when you ride across it at 75 miles an hour? Think about it. But we trust that engineer who designed that bridge. How about Southwest Airlines? Hello, somebody. You get up on the plane, man, look here, I'm on my way to L.A., man, look here, you know. My way to the conference. And you get on the plane, you don't know that pilot from, as they say, the man in the moon. You don't know that pilot. You don't know if he tied one on the night before. Hello, somebody. But we sit down in the seat, we buckle ourselves up, you understand, they start to rev the engines, and then all of a sudden one of the attendants get on the microphone, okay, all right. They begin to assure you of the things that you can do just in case. Hello? There might be a little fear. I have a little fear in flying, but I still sit there and ride. I trust that pilot. Hello, somebody. When I had my surgery on my arm, I take a prescription, man, to the pharmacist. Take a prescription to the pharmacist. Hello? On a piece of paper, I can't even read what it says. Don't even know what it says. And then he's back there. Think about it. If he got a hangover or something, I might get sick. But I trust that pharmacist. We trust that pharmacist. How much more should we trust God? The one who sent His only begotten Son, who died for us, shed His blood for us. How much more should we trust the one that has taken us out of the murk and the mire? Oh, there might be some people in here that once upon a time you say, well, I was a goody-goody-two-shoes. So, hey, you know, whatever that is. Okay, I was a goody-goody-two-shoes at one time. I wasn't on no dope and stuff, but the thing is, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. We're all sinners. That Jesus died for us all. And we were all destined to hell until Jesus on the cross shed His blood. How much more should we trust our Savior, our Lord, King of Kings, Lord of Lords? How much more should we trust God, the one who has saw us through so many things that have taken place in our lives. There's a lot of us here that have been through a lot of things. We look back and we wonder, how in the world did I make it to this point? I don't have any doubt that there's many of us here today, tonight, that we look back and say, wow, that bullet did not hit me, but the gun was aimed straight at me. And the shot was fired. Pastor Joe, your testimony, brother. Your brother was in the morgue. He was already laid in the thing there. In the morgue. Doot, 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 doot. Boy, that'd be a heck of a thing, man. Wake up, man, in the freezer. Hey, 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 listen to what I'm saying here. Hey, wake up on the gurney, man, with a thing tied to your toe, man, and they say you're gone. Our God is God. Our God is God. Our Creator loves us more than anyone. Loves us more than anyone. So it just doesn't make sense to me. All the time I've done, all the things that the misery and stuff that I've caused myself and others doesn't make sense. And there's many, many that have even a worse story than I have that are here tonight. Don't make sense to me how I can deny that God's hand was upon my life. I couldn't duck and dodge that hopelessness. Had it not been for Jesus. With every head bowed and every eye closed. Hallelujah. Tonight I want you to understand that God has called us to take the steps. That He's afforded us. He's afforded us everything that we need to get equipped and to do His good and perfect will. But we have to take the steps. We have to be available. We have to be teachable. We have to be those, you understand, that are grateful, that are thankful for what God's done in our life. And then we have to walk by faith and not by sight. We must know. If you don't have that faith here tonight, you understand, well then listen to those who have the faith. Listen to the testimonies. The Bible says that we shall overcome the devil by what? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. There's too many testimonies that come from this platform here that come, you understand. Every time we come together, we hear about a testimony. We hear about something that has happened and God, you understand, has taken that person out of the turmoil, out of the misery. God has blessed and blessed and blessed His people, and He'll continue to do so. But we have to take the steps in obedience in order to receive the promise. Just like the children of Israel, you continue to read this story and you'll find out that 2 to 3 million people, God held those waters back in a heap. It has to be a heck of a thing to watch. Water stacked up. I look at the Rio Grande when I go to Cochiti to fish and I say, wow. This little river has water like that. Well, when you dam the river, then the water stacks up. And 2 to 3 million people crossed over. How much water has God dammed up for us? Standing in a heap. We've been able to come this far. Guess what? He's going to take us even further still. There may be some here tonight. Maybe you got little faith. Maybe standing and getting your feet weather, taking the steps. It's been something that you've been fighting for so long. Say, I want to do this, but I just can't do it because I got agendas. God knows that you have agendas. God knows your heart. He knows what's on your mind. He knows what it's going to take. And you have to let Him have the chance and the opportunity to work something out in your life, to work something out in your brain and in your heart, so that you be able to get to that place that God intended for you to get to. and let other people and other people's lives be affected by your own life. Tonight we're gonna call this altar call. You know, we call this a river here. Call this a river here. Sometimes we step out in faith. It's a carpeted floor, true enough. But the steps that you take is because you believe that when you get here, you understand. When you get to this river and you stand in this river, and God begins to do a work in you because you have stepped out in faith and said, God, I need what you have intended for me to receive. I need that. I need strength. I need faith. I need a financial blessing. I need to be healed. And Lord, I believe I'm going to take the steps. Because I believe, Lord, that you can take care of all these issues that I have. So tonight I'm going to ask one question here. As I pray here, Heavenly Father, your word is going forward tonight, Lord. I pray, dear Lord God, that within the heart of those that have heard your word, my God, that Father, that there's a work being done there, my God, to free them up so that they take the steps, my God. Lord, none of us can do that, only you, Lord. So we ask tonight, Lord, that Father, that you would move in their hearts, move in them, dear Lord God. Father, that many people tonight, dear Lord God, oh Father, will take the steps, dear Lord God, and be willing, dear Lord God, to let go of everything, Lord, and allow you to do a work in their life. If there's anyone here tonight that has not accepted the free gift of salvation, and you believe that Jesus, the Son of God, born of a virgin, that he died on the cross of Calvary, that 3 days later, that he rose from the dead, that now, right now, he is seated at the right hand of the Father. He is our Lord, our Savior. He is the one interceding for us. He is the one who is tempted but never sinned, just like we're tempted. He knows what we go through. He died for you and I. If that be you tonight who want to accept that free gift of salvation, I want you to raise your hand. I want you to raise your hand. God bless you. Is there anyone else? Hallelujah. As everyone stands, we're going to, as they begin to sing here, the altars are open. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to pray with you tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I know you can save me. I made some mistakes, and I am to blame. I know.